I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison. I'm doing a show. I do a show every day from 9 to 11 o'clock here on WYAB. Dedicated to, or tailored to, targeted towards, the independent thinker, which I'm beginning to believe may be the smallest sliver of possible population out there. I should probably fire my marketing team, except I am that marketing team. So anyway, we're going to get into some news. I do a nonpartisan show into the middle of a partisan world. I am always just reminded of this as I do my show prep before I get started and I start looking at different political sites, even financial sites, and see one party blaming the other party for every ill that befalls us. And I sit there as an observer, understanding that both of these groups have really made a mess of things. Next hour, we're going to have Starla Brown in from Americans for Prosperity, and we're going to talk about this mess. Because Americans for Prosperity is going to be using the better part of this year to try to explain to Americans exactly what's happening to you, understanding why you are spending more and getting less. And I'm certainly doing my part here, best I can, with maybe an ineffective style, I don't know, to explain to you the hose job that has been going on. So let me get a couple of quotes out of the way today. Quotes of the day today, James Madison said, oppressors can tyrannize only when they achieve a standing army, check, an enslaved press, check, and a disarmed populace. That's pending, isn't it? Oppressors can tyrannize only when they achieve a standing army, and I will include in that the police state that we have created here in this country, an enslaved press, and a disarmed populace. They've got two out of three. They're going for the trifecta. Milton Friedman said, listen to this carefully. Milton Friedman said, inflation is taxation without legislation. People should always remember, and here's my message to the conservatives and Republicans out there, because that's the largest part of this audience. Every time you have heard over the past 20, 30, 40 years, really particularly in the last 12. If you have heard a Republican politician come out and talk to you about giving you tax cuts, but they did nothing to rein in spending, they gave you a little bit of a tax cut, and this is the makeup. Understand what I'm saying? You are now paying those taxes. They gave you a tax cut, but they did nothing about spending, which means they had to print money to fund their harebrained ideas, particularly for conservatives, the warfare state, the corporatist state. They printed up money. Instead of taking money for you, they gave you a $1,500 tax cut. Now you're paying that money back, and you're going to be doing it for years. Inflation is a tax. One of the worst, well, maybe the worst tax there is. Because it basically comes down to just a matter of survival. So for every Republican that came out and gave you a tax cut and you pat them on the back, but they never did anything about spending, you are now paying that money back in multiples. That was just it's like a loan. They let you keep a little bit of your money. They're taking it all back now. And Democrats, of course, love to grow government. They are equally, if not more, complicit in this. They didn't even want to give you the tax cut a couple of years ago. But the Republicans that did give you a tax cut but did nothing about spending, they're collecting that money from you now. Every time you purchase anything, those increased prices, that's the tax you're going to pay for them refusing to cut spending. And Samuel Adams says it does not require a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority keen to set brush fires in people's minds. I am that tireless minority. If you listen to the show with any regularity and you understand how different it is from what you'll hear on Breitbart or WGOP radio, I am that tiny, tiny, tireless minority. Well, I take back the tireless. I got to tell you, I'm getting exhausted by this stuff. But I am keen to set brush fires in people's minds. That's about all I can do. And then to finish it on a funny note, there's a sign. Somebody had posted a picture of a sign that's on the plexiglass divider of a convenience store. This is apparently in Texas because it's posted right above the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Commission permit. There's a sign on the glass there that says, "Please do not say damn when you hear the price." Oh boy, you know, this is almost like COVID. We went through a couple of years where restaurant hostesses, flight attendants had to go out and enforce these rules that were so wildly unpopular, unnecessary, and unhealthy, but they were forced onto the front lines to have to deal with the public and enforce these rules set by bureaucrats and politicians who were just a corrupt bunch of idiots. And people took out all of their rage on these people that were foisted out into the front lines that never wanted to be responsible for imposing a mask mandate to walk into a cell phone store, but they were forced to do it. And the American public took out their anger on them. I would imagine there's a whole lot of gas station clerks right now who are taking a verbal assault from the American people. It's not their fault. This is going to be, and I'm just going to go ahead and warn you now, you can adjust accordingly. This is going to be an economic show for probably the foreseeable future. So, as I say, if you're looking for Breitbart radio, WGOP radio, you might want to find somewhere else from 9 to 11 on a daily basis, because this is a once-in-a-lifetime of a nation event. I'm not talking about a once-in-a-lifetime, our lifetime. What is taking place right now, what is about to happen, is a once-in-a-lifetime of a nation event. That's what's about to unfold. And I'm going to do my best on this show to narrate the truth around what is happening, because I am stunned by the number of lies that are told all the way from the White House down to CNBC, down to Fox News, and your political pundits out there. I've been attempting to prepare my audience for 5 years for such a credit crisis like we're about to see, a crash like we're going to see. My timing's never good. But I could see this coming from a mile away. I just thought it was much closer. Objects in my rearview mirror appeared closer than they actually were. Yesterday, the Federal Reserve hiked rates by 75 basis points. It was the biggest hike that they've done since 1994. Will this solve the inflation problem? No. Not even close. And the stock market actually went up yesterday. It rallied because they said it looked like the Fed was serious about fighting this inflation. See, inflation is not good for the overall economy either. And so they made it seem like this was that show they were serious. It's 75 basis points. Originally, it's just going to be, and 75 basis points, a basis point is 1/100 of a percent. So 75 basis points is 3/4 of 1%. The thing is that the markets are getting it wrong. Most people are getting it wrong. The Federal Reserve is not serious about fighting inflation. If they were, they wouldn't have waited 6 months. 6 months to even start raising rates. They wouldn't be doing it in 0.5% and 0.75% raises. They would have raised in 2018, back when Trump was screaming at them to lower rates again, print more money. They would, if they were serious about forestalling inflation, they would have done something back then. They would have done something 6 months ago. They would have done something a year ago. They would have done something 2 months ago. They are not serious about fighting inflation. They are just like kids putting off telling their parents some bad news. I was notorious for this. Even to this day, I'll tell you, I'm kind of a non-confrontational guy. I don't like to deliver bad news. I'll put it off to the last minute. That's what the Federal Reserve is doing. They're being dishonest with you. I believe they may be hoping that the alien invasion comes before they are fully exposed. and people actually understand what is happening. They're not serious about fighting inflation, and they are just making the situation actually even worse. CNBC had an article. Here's what the Federal Reserve 75 percentage point hike means. It's the highest in 28 years. What does it mean for you? It says Federal Reserve raised its target federal funds rate by 0.75 percentage points, largest increase in nearly three decades, in an effort to quell runaway inflation. We at the Fed understand the hardship that high inflation is causing. That's what Jerome Powell said. He's the Federal Reserve chairman. We're strongly committed to bringing inflation back down, and we're moving expeditiously to do so. No, they're not. That's a lie. They have been talking about it for several months. They've been doing nothing. And I love this one. The latest move is only part of a rate hiking cycle which aims to crush inflation without tipping the economy into a recession, as some fear could happen. Yeah, that's a justified fear. They have created a Frankenstein economy now, and they have lost complete control over it. You'll hear talk now about them trying their best to orchestrate a soft landing. You're going to hear this term used a lot, a soft landing. They put out some notice here. Fed sees inflation topping 5% in 2022 and then falling rapidly due to higher rates. Let me tell you, that's not going to happen. It's not possible. They're trying to keep people pacified. As I say, I think they're waiting on an alien invasion, something really catastrophic. Maybe World War III will take our minds off what they're doing. They are trying to hide the truth from you as long as humanly possible because they know there's nothing they can do to create, to stop the crash that's coming, the crash that they created. They just want to delay your outrage for as long as possible. And I'll go ahead and make a prediction here. I need to be better. I really wish I had the ability, the staff, whatever, to go back and pull clips from previous shows where I've told you what was going to happen far before it had happened. This is considered a big rate hike, even though it's essentially worthless in fighting inflation. You don't fight 8%, 8.5% inflation with a 0.75% interest rate hike. You have to get over the top of it. Imagine trying to put a beach ball underwater. You can't pull it down by pinching the bottom and just tugging at the bottom of it. You've got to jump over that beach ball and sink it. But what's going to happen is they may get a couple more of these rate hikes done. But as soon as you start seeing the layoffs, when you see the softening of the labor market, when unemployment rate goes up, they will quit. They'll reverse. They'll stop raising rates. And they will probably begin to cut rates. One of the reasons they're even raising rates right now at all is so they can tell you that they've got the tools. If the economy starts to soften and go into recession, they can then cut rates to spur growth. They're wrong there too. All they will spur at that point is more inflation. See, they've been able to do this before. Stoke the job market, stoke the economy, because they didn't have the inflation to contend with, not at the producer, you know, at the consumer price level. We weren't whining, basically. We were swimming. You know, sometimes you'll see those videos, drone footage at a beach. Somebody's out there sunbathing on a raft, paddling around on a surfboard. But when you look at it through the drone, you can see the great white shark underneath the water. The swimmer oblivious to the danger that is beneath them. Well, that is what's been going on. That inflation has been swirling around underneath us all along, and we've been basking in the glow of low mortgage rates, 84-month car loans. Well, we know the shark is down there now. We're panicking, and there's absolutely nothing that the Fed can do to change that. Number of Americans filing for first-time unemployment benefits was practically flat at 229 this week. They upwardly revised last week, but the trend is moving up. While continuing claims trend lower, initial claims are trending significantly higher as a turn in the labor market is clear. The four-week average of initial jobless claims is now at its highest level since January of 2022. It's already happening. Now, I want to I'm going to take a break. I'm going to tell you about something. This is really incredibly sad. What is going to happen to investors is really sad. Look, a lot of people out there try to do the right things by themselves and their families. But when nobody ever tells them the truth, no one really tells them about risk. Financial advisors are mostly, there are some good ones out there, but most of them are commission-based salespeople. I did a whole book on it. You can go to Amazon, go into your ebooks, and look for Beware of Your Financial Advisor by L.T. Drake. That was the handle that I wrote that book under. That's a Seinfeld reference for anybody who wants to try to figure that out. L.T. Drake. But I wrote a book called Beware of Your Financial Advisor years ago. Got some great reviews. Not a whole lot of sales. I don't know how to sell a book, but I felt like I had to tell what I had seen in the industry from back when I was a financial advisor. Financial advisors are commission-paid salespeople. Most of them do not understand the economy, much less protect their clients from it. But it's very sad, particularly for older Americans who have now suffered through 12 years of getting basically no return on their fixed income portfolio. They bought bonds and CDs and put money in savings accounts because they couldn't risk it in the stock market. They got no return for the last 12 years. I've always wondered why there was not a geriatric uprising in this country. But it's because nobody understands why that was happening. People have been getting 0.5% on their money. They saved their whole life. They get towards the end of it, considering retirement in the next 10 years. They say, well, I better park some of this money, let it work for me a little bit, make sure I keep it safe. They've been getting no return for the next 12 years, and I'm going to show you what's happening to them this year. It's incredibly sad, but it's just the beginning. Be right back. All right. What's unfolding is going to be very sad for people. Now, I'm going to say this again because I'm going to get accused of being, you know, a dark show. But, man, there's people been warning about this for a long time. And I'll tell you right now, I was warning you about this during the Trump administration. When Trump pushed interest rates back down, when he was jawboning the Fed to take interest rates back down, I told you at the time, that's the wrong thing to do. I was told he was somehow taking over the Fed. I can't remember all of the theories I was told. I told you then. So now that it's happening, can we at least start to deal in some level of reality of what's happening? And I've got what I think is an incredibly sad story. I have a great deal of empathy for people. But one of the only things I can really do at this point, I mean, I can stroke everybody's hair and tell you it's going to be okay and just lie to you. That's what everybody else is going to do. I'll tell you if you go vote hard enough in 2022. You get those midterms elections, you flip the House, you flip the Senate, it's all going to be okay. I could do that, make me more popular now, but I couldn't live with myself. And so I'm going to tell you exactly what's going on, and I've got it incredibly, what I think is a very sad story, particularly for older Americans or people who have, air quotes here in the studio, a balanced portfolio, what's happening to them right now. But before we get to that, got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yeah.
Hey, Joe.
Mike, we were saying earlier that it seems as if that is the most ignorant, because Americans have never dealt, maybe since the 70s, lots of inflation, higher inflation. And when I speak to people, and they like, oh, man, gas prices or diesel prices or, you know, cooking oil prices. And I try to mention it's the money supply. Well, that goes over their head. It's like the bird flies over their head and never poops in their hair. And you just try to – they want to say it's – you know, they're hearing all the misinformation. Like Biden said the other day that, you know, these corporations, they don't want to create more supply because they like the prices high. And then the Federal Reserve is saying, you know, we're going to fix inflation by raising interest rates. People are being fed so much disinformation, they don't know what to believe. But the simple fact is, it's just simple, like you said, inflating the money supply.
Yeah, the definition of inflation has been used to talk about rising prices. But the original definition of inflation was inflating the money supply, because that's what causes prices to rise. And what drives me really crazy, and I'm hard on Republicans on this show because I talk to Republicans. I'm trying to, I'd rather clean up the house on the right maybe so we can, because it does seem that the Republicans and conservatives are more sane people. So maybe if we actually knew what we were dealing with, maybe we could make some changes. But for the Republican Party to not come out and explain this shows you how dishonest the Republican Party is. And the reason they don't is because the Republicans love to spend money just like the Democrats, maybe on different things, but they do not want the American people to take their punch bowl away.
One of the things I saw a while ago, it was a documentary on the fall of the Roman Empire, and it was super-duper educational because one of the things that the Roman Empire did is they would have to mine gold to make gold coins to pay for their armies as they expanded their empire. And what happened is their empire had grown way beyond what they can control, and the supply of gold started to diminish.
Yeah, it couldn't keep
up.
And what
they started to do was add impurities to their coins. So at the end of the collapse of the Roman Empire and their economy, a Roman gold coin maybe only had 10% gold in it, and the rest copper.
Right.
And they basically debased their own money supply, and they used a coinage. This wasn't even numbers or digits like we have today. Simple coins, but they inflated their money supply and collapsed their economy. And
you know,
that
and
was
it's,
the Roman Empire 2,000 years ago.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing to think, and you mentioned the 70s as well. It's very interesting to think that, you know, they did what they did in the 70s, and vast majority of Republicans will tell you that the reason for inflation in the 70s was Jimmy Carter. You know, we have just lived through something like this within recent decades, and still people can't figure this out because this was easy to see coming. Over the last 12 years, I mean, it was just red flags and warning sirens going off as to this inflation is going to be created. But people, this can happen time and time again to country after country, and people still don't catch on to it. I mean, everybody out there who has voted in general elections, whether you voted for Republican or Democrat, you voted for this inflation because you have allowed, you have sent people to Washington, D.C. and to the state houses that run these big deficits and are taking all these federal handouts. You have elected the people that have brought us this inflation, but everybody thinks it's just the other side who's doing it. And how people don't catch on after millennia of experience as to how this works is really amazing to me.
Well, one thing Americans have never experienced is the type of inflation that Brazil, Argentina, Zimbabwe, Germany, they've never experienced that kind of inflation.
Yeah.
You know, I saw a documentary on Venezuela, and the government, the Chavistas, was bringing a chicken and a piece of sausage to these poor, hungry people. And these Chavistas were trying to come off like the heroes. Hey, we're bringing you food, aren't we the heroes?
Right.
And the reporter asked, well, how much does this chicken cost? And the Chavistas said, oh, 40, I think it was like 40,000 bolivars or whatever their currency is. And then somebody said, oh, basically $1.
Yeah.
And they, oh, no, we don't speak in dollars. You know, that's America. But basically, Venezuela is trying to tie its economy to the dollar right now for some form of stabilization.
Well, that may be a short-lived experiment because the dollar.
Exactly. They're trying to hold on to a lifeboat with a hole in it. But, I mean, it's better than $40,000 for a chicken.
Yeah, and I don't know. I'll figure out more as we go through this and see exactly what the Fed does. But I believe if the Fed does a couple of these small raises, and then the jobless rate ticks up, which it's already doing, and then they see unemployment going up, and they retreat or even start to cut, at that point, I believe that will bake some serious hyperinflation into the cake. Now, is it going to be? You know, Argentina, is it going to be Venezuela? I have a hard time picturing that, but I don't think it's out of the question. I mean, we could wake up, there have been countries, and people have to also remember, like you talk about the Roman Empire, the British Empire, all of these empires, usually they collapse financially. They're not usually just defeated militarily in one big fell swoop. They usually rot from the inside through corruption and financial problems. So empires do fall. Now, if our empire falls, I won't shed a tear. But I'm hoping that our country is spared any true hyperinflation currency crisis. It's going to be a crisis for a lot of people, and I want to do this story in just a second. But I don't know we end up with the, 70, 80%. There have been economies where, you go in to eat at a restaurant, and people are trying to pay for the meal before the food comes because they're worried that by the time they sit and enjoy their meal, that the price might have risen by the time they get done with their meal. I mean, that's how nefarious inflation can be. I don't know that I see that here, but I am willing to start to see the tea leaves that we're heading that direction.
One of my biggest concerns is, for years since the they relied on the petrodollar, which we became the world reserves currency, we've been able to escape all this money printing and the hyperinflation that other countries had to go through because other countries are buying our dollars. And as we get away from the gold standard, I mean the petrodollar, and other countries start trading in oil in their own currencies or gold, and they start returning our dollars, we could also see a big influx of return dollars, which would also cause, or hasten the collapse.
Yeah.
It would basically mean we would have to live under the same circumstances of money printing as other countries have.
What's to me is should be patently obvious to anybody who pays any attention, understands economics at all. Really, one of the only ways we avoid really catastrophe is we have to pretty much immediately shrink the hell out of our government. As interest rates go up, we currently pay somewhere between $300 and $400 billion a year just in interest on our debt. Just in interest, not paying any principal back, just paying the interest on our debt. And that's at historically low interest rates. So if interest rates double, suddenly the U.S. budget, we're looking at $600 to $700 billion a year just to service our debt. If we have true interest rate rise, something similar to the 1970s, you were talking about a couple of trillion dollars just to pay interest on the debt that these politicians in Washington, D.C. and the state houses ran up. Can you imagine? A couple of trillion dollars just to pay the interest on the debt that we have accumulated through both of these political parties.
Well, that's why our debt raises exponentially, is because as the debt grows, we've got to create more money to cover the interest of the debt.
Right.
As it grows, we create more and more and more. You look at the debt all the way up into George Bush, our national debt was only like $6 trillion. Obama moved it from $6 trillion to $16 trillion. And I think we're up to like what 30?
Yeah,
right
we're at 30
now.
Yeah, I mean let's not leave out Donald Trump. Donald Trump added, I believe, seven or nine or something like that. I get the money has got the debt has gone up so fast. But during the Trump administration, we were layering trillions and trillions and trillions. He was on pace to even beat Obama in the increase in debt, and now Joe Biden is off to the races, and God knows where this thing ends. So it is a bipartisan thing, and that is probably my biggest message. You're not voting your way out of this by electing the same kind of people you've been voting for before. I can just say that.
Well, at some point, it becomes like a snowball rolling down a hill.
It's already there.
It keeps growing, and no president, even if you get the best president who's trying to rein it all in, this whole exponential growth of the printing money to cover the debt that keeps growing, no president can actually stop it. It becomes so big that the only way that you can do it is, unfortunately, and I hate to say the word because it's horrible, the Great Reset. But it's a reset back to small government and, low debt.
Yeah, that's a possibility. We could demand our own Great Reset that would actually work, not the ones they have planned for us. But, hey, Joe, I appreciate the call. I got to jump to a break, man.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, thanks. Bye. All right, when I come back, I'm going to recount this story to you. It drives me crazy. I'll say it again. I see people drinking diet sodas thinking they're doing something for their health, and I know the chemicals in it are terrible for you, and it actually promotes obesity. It's so sad when I see people trying to do the right thing for themselves, particularly when it comes to investing, and then this happens. I'll tell you what I'm talking about when I come back. Stick around. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Next hour, we'll have Starla Brown in with Americans for Prosperity. We're going to take a look at these economic issues. They're going to be crisscrossing the country, their organization, trying to explain to people, let you know exactly what's happening, why this is happening. It's important. We need real education on this issue in this country, not political speak, not partisan talk. You know, I was talking to Joe off air, and he said, he's talked to people about inflation, and they all say, well, it's just the price of gas going up. You can always do a mental exercise when you think you've really got something real simple like that. But just say, then why is rent going up? And I understand gasoline's involved in a whole lot of things. High gas prices do increase shipping costs, which can increase prices of a whole lot of stuff. Rent? Insurance? I mean, there's a whole lot of things out there that are not just directly tied to gasoline. Some things are more sensitive to that than others. The other is, this is Joe Biden's fault. Now, all you got to do is stop and think, well, that's weird. Why is Germany having such bad inflation? Why is Brazil having inflationary problems? The common denominator between all these countries that are experiencing record inflation right now is not Joe Biden. The common denominator is they've all got a central bank. And their inflation is proportionate to the amount of money they've been printing up. This is not hard to see. It's not hard. It's just that people want to see. I guess it maybe gives us some level of, we think there's some control we've got over it. We can stop this if we just vote the right way. Here's just what I think is a really sad story, and I ran across this yesterday. And this is what happens when people, don't understand economics, and that includes most people's financial advisors. Being a financial advisor is a tough job, I will say, even for the good ones, because, when the stock market is humming, any financial advisor that's told you over the past few years, hey, this market's kind of overheated, let's sit on the sidelines. Then they get your clients, they take them out of stocks, and they watch the market go up another 20%, and the client's mad at them. I remember people coming to me when I was a financial advisor, and WorldCom had gone from $65 a share down to $8. And they wanted to load up on WorldCom stock. And I said, I got to tell you, I don't think that's a good idea. They've got some serious problems here. Well, it's at 8. It's got to go back up. I mean, it was at 65. This is just, and I would tell people, I don't think that's a good idea. I would not be buying WorldCom here. Freddie Goldman was another Mississippi firm. Freddie Goldman also was taken out. I believe they ended up with some financial accounting scandal stuff too, but it was way down. It was around $2 a share. I want Freddie Goldman and WorldCom. And I said, that's not a good idea. What happened with the vast majority of those clients is they left me. They took their money out of accounts with me and they found another financial advisor that loaded them up on WorldCom and Freddie Goldman. They both went to zero. Now, did any of those clients call me up and go, Mike, I'm bringing my money back to you? They did not. I never saw them again. I know they lost their butts. But when it comes to investing, there's a lot of people out there, and I've talked about it a lot over the 5 years I've been on this show, saying, I've felt bad for these retirees who put their money away in savings accounts, CDs, anything else, bond, fixed investment income generating things, because by this artificial lowering of interest rates, they've been getting nothing as a return. They've been parking this money they've worked their whole lives for, and the banks have been giving them, 0.25%. It's nothing. You invest $100,000 in one of these things, and they give you $250 a year in interest. You can't live off that. You're going to be constantly eating into your principal. And I thought it was very sad, was really surprised there was no outrage, but I understand it's because people don't understand economics. They thought that they were getting the goose that laid the golden egg because these low interest rates gave them this low home mortgage, and they didn't pay attention to the fact that the price of the house had gone up by 30%. So you had a lower interest rate, but the low interest rates made you spend more on a house. There's really no net benefit there. But this one is really sad. There's an ETF, an exchange-traded fund, and it's by one of our favorites here, BlackRock. BlackRock Institutional Trust has got an iShares ETF fund. It's 20-year plus treasury bonds. And you understand that treasuries, U.S. government bonds, are known to be the safest investments out there. And so there's a lot of people who have wanted this portion of their portfolio to be in something rock solid. Older people particularly don't want to put all their money in the market. They can't stay. They've lived through, a lot of younger people have never lived through a bear market, but they have, and they didn't want to put their capital at risk, their retirement assets at risk in the market, so they put them over into a bond fund. You'll hear people talk about balanced portfolios. You put 60% of your money in stocks and 40% of your money in bonds. Because traditionally, it has been the case where one asset class does poorly, the other asset class does well. But we are in something different now. And as I've called it, where it's been called, I didn't come up with it, it's the everything bubble. We're in a 40-year bubble rally, bull market in bonds. 40 years bonds have been in a bull market. I don't know if I can use the term unprecedented, but that's not normal. That is not normal. And I don't have time to explain why that's taken place. But for 40 years, bonds have been in a bull market. So a lot of people thought, well, I'm going to park all those assets that I really don't want to put at risk into a bond market. Do you know what this this ETF, these people who have invested their money that they needed to preserve for retirement or have as their kind of rock solid investment stuff, this bond fund is down 23% this year alone. They've lost 23% of their money investing in government bonds because people don't understand that we've been in a bond bubble, that we were in a debt bubble, that we've had a 40-year bull market in bonds that was bound to reverse at some point, and what we're seeing right now is what's going to reverse it. It's inflation. This bond fund, I believe it yields around 2%. 2% a year is what the yield is, meaning you're going to get income on that invested money of about 2% a year. So in that scenario, you started out the year with $100,000. Right now you've got, what, $77,000, but you got 2% yield on that money. So you're somewhere, you know, maybe close to $80,000 with the yield you have. Well, we're only halfway through the year, so that's only 1% so far. Now, so you're around $78,000. Your $100,000 in this rock-solid, steady account has turned from $100,000 to $78,000. And this is incredible. Like I say, there are going to be some real tragedies. And the people that have worked hard, saved their money, older Americans in particular who didn't want to risk their money, they're finding out now that it was a risk. Nobody ever told him that. They told him this was where you put your money you don't want messed with. Very, 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 very sad. I got a little bit of stories here about farmers, too, when we come back. I told you, I'm not trying to be dark here, but I'm just telling you, we have made a mess of everything. Well, all of us, we participated by supporting the system. But anyway, the hits keep on coming. I'll be right back.
I was afraid. I was petrified. I kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. But then I spent so many nights just thinking how you'd done me wrong. I grew strong. I learned how to get along.
One of the absolute worst things about inflation is how nefarious it is to the lower income people in this country. I mean, that is really sad. It is a horribly regressive tax. And remember, inflation is a tax. And it really hits the people who are already struggling, coming out of COVID, barely made it through that. And the problem is, man, you know, stimmies don't help anymore. Stimmies make it worse. They're going to float these out. Gavin Newsom out in California is trying to send out $500 to every Californian to mitigate high gas prices. You know what that's going to do? It's going to make it worse. It's going to increase demand. I mean, there's a million ways it's going to make it worse. But this has been out for about 2 weeks. I just ran across it. This is a Holly Wheelnow or something like that. She's an Ohio farmer, and she did a little TikTok video here about what's going on and really how clueless people are as to what's coming down the pike.
So I got in a conversation today, and the woman, honestly, bless her heart, honestly thinks that food prices are not going to go up. She thinks that this is the highest they're going to go. I tried to explain to her that that was not the case, that they are absolutely going to go up even more. And I told her there are things that, like, we have to buy. There's something we had to buy that 2 years ago cost us $24. Last year was about $46. This year it is costing us $96. Okay? Local farmer, 50 head of cattle. It's costing him $8,000 a month to feed them. Please understand, food prices are going to go up.
Yeah. So, the input prices in farms. And here's the other thing. You would think, well, you know, if we start having a real farming crisis here in this country, well, they'll just bail out the farmers, won't they? They can't anymore. I mean, this is the thing that I think is lost on people. We have spent really about a generation now, you know, but particularly since the great financial crisis, where they convinced us that, well, yeah, things may go sideways, but don't worry, there's a backstop to everything in the economy. The airlines can't fly during COVID. Don't worry, we'll bail them out. The banks made big, huge, wrong-headed bets. They got too risky during the financial crisis. Don't worry, we'll bail them out. Insurance companies, counterparty risk in the financial crisis. AIG's going under. Don't worry, we'll bail them out. Farmers are having problems. Don't worry, we'll bail them out. They'll get checks. They'll each get $40,000. You know, that game is over. Those bailouts are what created this mess. So those are not an option anymore. I'm not saying they won't try them. Believe me, they probably will. It will actually make the situation worse. Those were Band-Aids. The wound is gaping now. The Band-Aid will just get stuck down in the wound at this point. It can't cover it up. It's going to make it worse. And this is the box that they're in. We're going to have to ride this one out. And as I said, I keep telling you, be hopeful. If you understand this stuff, there are ways to position yourself where you end up doing really well. Those friends of your annoying friends of yours that have always done better than you financially, this may be the time you leapfrog them. You can do those things, but you better understand what's going on and how to position yourself. I'm not a financial advisor anymore, but you do your own research. Some people come out on top. A lot of people are going to be hurt. Be right back.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. It's Thursday. We do our Freedom and Prosperity Hour every Thursday from 10 to 11 o'clock with the representatives from Americans for Prosperity here, the Mississippi chapter, and we've got their head cheese today, Starla Brown, in with us. Starla, great to have you back.
Yeah, great to be back, Mike. You know, I haven't been with you the last few weeks in the YAB crew here, so we appreciate you carrying on with the rest of our staff, but last week, I was in Washington, D.C.
The belly of the beast.
The belly of the beast. And our state chapters across the country came to Capitol Hill to meet with members of the House and Senate about our federal policy objectives. And it's really something that we call emerging stronger, right? It's a way for us to emerge stronger, to look at the policies from a completely different perspective than how they're mostly being passed right now. And we've actually provided the Biden administration, I think it's upwards of like 20 items they could actually do that they could actually implement and Congress could take a look at. And it would actually help the inflation issue and problem that we have.
And you would think that they would want that. I mean, I'm sure they do not agree with Americans' prosperity on a lot of things, but I mean, you would think heading into a midterm election year, you would think with Biden's approval ratings falling through the floor, that they would be open to just about anything just to make themselves look better, even if they didn't believe in it.
Right, right. Well, you know, one would hope. And the thing is strategically right now, those things that we're recommending, and we'll talk a little bit more about this in detail as we kind of run through the show today, are quite the opposite. They're almost the antithesis, even though they're real solutions that would work. They're almost the antithesis as to what the administration is actually doing.
Yes.
So every time I hear the president speak, he's touting all these other types of policies that are only going to increase inflation.
Yes, they
are
make it worse.
Make it worse, right?
Yes.
And, you know, I think a lot of people I'm talking to are starting to really wonder why do they want to make it worse, right?
Yeah,
what's
okay,
the objective
so,
here? What's
so
the objective?
It, well, I mean, so you've been up there. Is this, I mean, I don't want to go all conspiratorial. They can't be this dumb. I mean, I'm not just talking about the Biden administration, although it is really hard to even watch and think that these people are running the most powerful nation on the planet. But we're talking about years and years of, you know, growing this government and printing this money and doing these things that they had to have known that there was going to be a crisis. Now, I'm willing to admit maybe it's just short-sightedness. Politicians do a lot of things because they know we won't feel the effects for 10 years. They may be out of office. They'll feather their nest at the time. But what is going on right now, it is almost, I mean, we can't get baby formula or farmers or struggling. I mean, everything is broken right now.
Right, right. Well, I couldn't agree with you more that everything's broken. And so while there are solutions out there, we've got to start looking at those solutions. We cannot continue on this trajectory. And, you know, as we talk about the upcoming event and this tour that we're doing, you know, there's some heartbreaking stories when
yes.
we start talking to everyday Americans. One of the things that we talk to, and this is an area around energy that I find very interesting. So Senator John Barrasso, introduced some legislation. It was called the Strategic Production Response Act. And basically it provides for development, also the issuance of a plan. So when you're talking about the Secretary of Interior and the Secretary of Energy, like a plan, right? So we have these drawdowns, right? And that's, as we know, is not going to solve.
You're talking about the petroleum reserve.
Right, the reserves, right? Yeah. It's not going to solve inflation. It's not going to be the answer. You know, it's not going to inject enough into the economy to bring down the price.
Well, they've been
gas.
Releasing a million barrels a day, haven't they, or something like that? And, and prices have done nothing but go up.
But, and this is dangerous because those reserves are there for very specific reasons in a crisis. Now, we're in a crisis, but we're in an inflationary crisis, and they're not really sort of put aside for that purpose.
Right.
And so there's a very simple bill out there, require a plan within 60 days to actually replenish those petroleum reserves. And so we're saying, you know, hey, secretary, these two secretaries have got to get together. And we're asking, and one of the asks that we had, our state chapter on Capitol Hill, is for the members of Congress, because there's a congressional companion bill, and the senators, and one has already signed on, and we hope the other will do so soon. We are asking for them to co-sponsor this bill. This is really common sense energy policy that's just saying, do what you really need to do.
Well,
right?
How do you is this going out into the open market and buying oil for the strategic petroleum reserve, or is it starting up some wells just for that express purpose? Because, you know, I mean, this is just typical government. They're draining the strategic petroleum. I don't know why I'm having problems saying that strategic petroleum reserve, the SPR. They're draining that. And if you look at things, eventually you're right. They're going to have to refill it. What are they going to refill it at? $10, you know, a gallon into gasoline or whatever, however it's stored. They're going to buy it back at higher prices to actually. And at that point, when they become a buyer, it increases the demand, which would actually spike the price. I mean, everything is on its head.
Right, right. So but if we get to a point of energy abundance, energy independence,
this is part of more drilling,
right?
And stuff
like this. This is one piece. This is one act that would make a requirement, and you got to have a plan in place. Right? Let's see what that plan looks like, right? And be presented. You know, a lot of times these drawdowns are a series of two, right? So there's like a series they'll put in place, and then there's a second series. And we're just saying, like, you know, so one of the pieces in that legislation that's important is that within 60 days of that drawdown, you have to have a plan in place to figure this out. And I think it gives us more transparency about how we're replenishing that. And like you said, there's ways to do that without getting into those other areas that would be bad. So that's one of the things we're asking. And so, you know, if you're a congressman here or the one senator that hasn't signed on, you know, if you want to make a call to their office and ask them to co-sponsor this bill, we'd appreciate it.
Well, are Wicker and Cindy Hyde-Smith in the Senate? Are they on board?
Cindy Hyde-Smith has already co-sponsored. We had a great conversation with Senator Wicker's office, and we're hopeful that he will, you know, he's certainly reviewing the bill. So anyone who wants to put a call in the office and make sure that he is signing on to that as a co-sponsor, we'd appreciate that call. You know, look, it's great to be back after spending a week in D.C. It's as hot as Mississippi without any breeze. But you're in a suit, so it, you know, it's
well.
That
when
kind
you
of
travel to hell, what do you expect?
Right. But I wanted to give a shout out. You know, we talked a little bit about this past Saturday. We had a policy education boot camp in our office, and we brought in our education and training team, and we talked about some very specific pieces of policy and how we form that point of view. And so I want to give a shout out to some of your listeners who were actually in that boot camp.
Great.
And like Sean, for example, he came to our policy education boot camp, right? And we had lively conversation, lively debate. It was great learning activities and really a perspective of thinking outside the box to solve problems through, you know, the lens of policy, right? Not just doing the same old, thinking like why something can actually impact and change the way we do things. And so, you know, really, I just want to send a big thank you to those who attended and, you know, that want to engage with our grassroots. Stone Clanton is going to be on the show next week. And he will be talking about some new opportunities in the Jackson area to bring us, you know, all together as a community of activists. We've got some really cool things planned. And so if you're interested in getting engaged, our office in Ridgeland is really going to be busy the remainder of 2022. And if, you know, if you want to be involved, don't miss next week's show, because Stone's going to have some very specific items that are coming up. And you know, we're really looking forward to getting people engaged. So if you're a leader of an organization, if you're just that social change entrepreneur out there who's saying, hey, I want to make a difference in my community, you're an influencer, maybe you're a social media influencer, right? Maybe, you know, that's your role. We've got opportunities for you, and we're starting something really neat. And so he'll have all those details. So we want to make sure people that are listening come on next week. And
yeah. Well, you really were the grassroots person in Florida, weren't you?
I was for a number of years, I was the director of grassroots operations, or grassroots director. I think my title changed. Titles are, you know, they are. But yeah, so really, really ran those operations for a number of years, then became the deputy state director before getting this wonderful opportunity to be back and come home to Mississippi. And so I'm looking forward to what we're going to do here to grow grassroots. I mean, we want to build a networking community of individuals out there who really are focused on policy, not politics, right? They're focused on the policy, they're focused on the changes they can make at all levels of government, local, state, federal, and really make sure that people have, you know, you talked about earlier today, I was listening to the show on the way up, and so, you know, give me a little brownie point.
That's
there,
right,
because I did listen in.
I was going to quiz you.
You're going to quiz me, right? But you talked a lot about getting the truth out. And that's one of the objectives we have, is we want to talk about there are better ways to do things. But people don't often know, like you talked about the definition of inflation, right? People just think it's prices going up.
Right.
And you're right. It's not. I mean, it is about manipulating the economy and the influx of monies that are not brought in through a free market principle, right? And so the thing is, we want to make sure people understand that. But we also want to make sure that they understand that there are solutions out there, and that they can work with their elected officials better if they're educated on those pieces, right? If they know the truth.
I mean, are lawmakers educated in this stuff? I mean, I cannot figure out, when you look at the mess we have right now. Now, we know, you know, Biden notwithstanding, he is a mentally incapacitated, essentially, at this point. But do the people in Congress, do the people that are serving in politics in Jackson, do they understand economics, or are they just as clueless about what's taking place now, what led to it, as most Americans are?
I think you could say it depends. And I say that with a grain of kind of looking at it through this lens. Sometimes people understand that this policy would help, but maybe not to the extent of why, you know, that kind of thing. And then other people clearly understand and get it. Like, you know, look, in Capitol Hill, one of the highlights for me, I'm a huge fan of Congressman Thomas Massie,
yes.
No doubt. You know, one of my favorite things.
I say don't fall in love with a politician, but that's the closest I get. He is one of the best congressmen ever been there.
Yeah, and so it was great. I got to say hello, and, you know, I follow his hashtag. It's one of the places I go, because a lot of times he's just telling the truth, right?
Yeah.
He's just actually on social media telling the truth and getting a message out about why policy is good or bad, right? There are some good things out there. I mean, look, there's a lot of doom and gloom right now, and I did listen
to my first hour.
Yeah, I did listen to your first hour. There is. But there is hope that if we work together, and I truly believe in grassroots, like it is something, because I've seen the effect of how it works, right? But if we work together, we're stronger together. And if we're in a unified message behind what we're trying to accomplish, I think we can sit down. And, you know, sometimes legislators, like a lot of times, you know, that's what we're talking about, to make sure they do understand, right? To make sure they have information. We've got a team of individuals on our policy team up in our office in Arlington and around the country, and they're working tirelessly to really go through these bills, to really go through the point of view of our policy and the perspective of how can we best impact people's lives, right, to improve them, and not get into carve-outs, right? Law is supposed to be equally applied to everyone, right?
Yeah.
So cronyism, these kind of things that we often see that cause us to get in the places we are, you know, we're working tirelessly to do that. But we want to make sure you have that knowledge, right? It isn't knowledge just for lawmakers to have. everyday Americans need to understand.
Yes, they've got to understand this. Well, you know, here's the problem I have. I'm very critical of the Republican Party on this station. If I was on a left-wing station, I would really go after the Democrats, because I think people need to kind of understand, you better clean up your own house even before you point across the aisle. Here's the big frustration I have with the Republicans. They campaign as fiscally responsible people, and that, you know, they talk a lot about spending and everything about it. I don't think I've heard anybody, maybe outside of a Thomas Massey or maybe a Rand Paul, the more libertarian guys who, and libertarians really focus in on economics more than most, I think. But anyway, this is an opportunity. The Republicans are in a minority situation right now. They can point out the truth to the American people and tell the American people, look, we have been printing up money really recklessly over the last 12 years. And when you print up this much money, it ends up filtering through the economy. It started in asset prices. It went into the stock market, inflated that. It inflated property values. It inflated fine art. And now it is inflating rent and a gallon of milk. They could come out and very clearly and concisely explain that this is it, and then say, so what we are campaigning on going forward is we must shrink the size of and the spending of government. They won't do that. And so either they don't understand, and I don't believe that. I think they do understand. They are trying to leave themselves the ability to continue to grow the size of government while still pretending that they're fiscally responsible.
Yeah. And I think my response to that would be, as an individual, and if I were a lawmaker, okay, humility and admitting you were wrong is difficult. It's very difficult to admit you're wrong, especially when you've got to very publicly admit it, that maybe the things that we've been doing aren't working, the policies that we've been creating aren't working. Maybe some of my people, either across or on the same side of the aisle, are trying to get me to do some things, and I was resistant to talk about it, resistant to do that change. So what I'm hopeful for, I'm always hopeful for, because if I'm not hopeful, why am I here, right, is that we in the grassroots piece of this can begin to have those conversations and ask people to do exactly what you're doing. Have the humility to say, like, hey, we got to stop doing this and we got to start doing something else.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, like I say, you're on a tour of education, and I cannot endorse that any higher. I mean, that's exactly what we need. People have got to understand. I don't know what I would do if I went to a campaign event. You know, we got a runoff with Michael Guest and Michael Cassidy here in the 3rd Congressional District. We're going to have elections next year for the any of these things. If I went to a political event or a Rotary Club meeting where you got to ask these, if I heard somebody mention the Federal Reserve, the money supply, or anything like that, I think I'd fall over in my seat. But I think it's coming. I think now people are going to start to pay attention to this stuff. As I keep saying, I talk about the Federal Reserve and the economy a lot here on this show. It's starting to get sexy because now it's affecting just about everybody. I mean, just about everybody.
Right. Yeah.
So anyway. All right. We're talking to Starla Brown, Americans for Prosperity. We'll be right back.
I tear my heart open. I sew myself shut. My weakness is that I can't do much. And my scars remind me that the past is real.
All right, we are back talking to Starla Brown of Americans for Prosperity. So, Starla, y'all are beginning kind of your education tour. You're doing events to try to explain to people exactly what they are seeing, why this is happening to them, what we can do to change that. What all have y'all got coming up?
Yeah, so speaking of next week, next up on our agenda in terms of an event, we're going to be heading over to the Meridian area and my hometown, so I'm really excited about that. Going to be at the historic 3-foot hotel.
I've heard of this. What is that?
Oh, so when I was growing up, it was an office building, right? And there's a rich history. I would say, look, I could use all our segment to go through the history of the building. But it is now a hotel. You can actually stay there. There's a restaurant, nice area and stuff like that. And we're actually going to have a reception there at 5:30 on Tuesday, June 21st. But I do encourage people, if you're outside the Meridian area, to look it up. Or if you're there, stay there, right? We're, you know, downtown Meridian is one of those areas that is under a lot of revitalization. I'm happy to see it. Looking forward to be part of that community with our organization. And
we've done some signature gathering in downtown Meridian. Meridian, and I actually really did enjoy it. It was a neat area.
Yeah,
there's a lot of cool shops and stuff down
really
there.
Really cool stuff going on. But anyway, we'll be there Tuesday, June 21st, 5:30 to 7 p.m. Anybody who wants to hang out and talk some policy after, we're going to be up at the boxcar, which is part of the hotel, and we'll hang there later to continue to talk on. But we're going to talk about how we're bringing that education and those pieces to the Meridian area and some upcoming events. And so we hope that people will come out, meet our team. Stone Clanton, that's our engagement director here in the Jackson area, also covers Meridian and Vicksburg. So we'll be in those communities, and that's our next thing there. But we have something coming up on June 28th. We are bringing the True Cost of Washington campaign to Mississippi. We're bringing an event here. We're going to be at Cox Chevron from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and that is Tuesday, June 28th. We're going to be rolling back gas prices. So in the next half hour, we'll talk a little bit about the policy around this campaign, how we're educating people. We have been across the country. We actually the boxcar won't be in here, but we actually have a box truck that's like, you know, going across. We've got wrap vehicles. We've been in cities. And man, I had one lady showed up at 8 a.m. to get the rollback gas price for an event that didn't start till 11. That's heartbreaking.
People are hurting.
So we really got to talk about why and some solutions to that policy.
So what exactly does that all involve? You're rolling back the price to what?
Yeah, to $2.38 a gallon, which was the national average on Biden's inauguration day. I mean, it was January 21st and, 2021. So you can take a look at that difference. 230 national average. What's the national average now? Yeah.
$5 over twice.
Yeah, it's over twice. So we're looking forward to that. But I'm looking forward in the next segment here. We're going to talk about some of those solutions and about that campaign that we're doing and kind of talk a little bit more about the event. But we're excited. So, you know, if you're in the Forest, Mississippi area, or you're traveling through that day, or you just want to come over and join us, we're going to be sign waving. We're going to be talking to people. We've invited the media to come out. We're hoping to get some coverage there on the event. We really want to send the message to people and really talk about what's really, like you said, what's the truth, what's causing inflation, and what are the solutions that we can see government doing and Congress taking action to curb it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So that's June 28th over in Forest at Cox Chevron from 11 to 1. You're rolling back gas prices.
You got it.
That's going to be a popular event.
I think so.
Yeah. You're going to need traffic police on scene.
We have.
I bet you will. All right. We're talking to Starla Brown, Americans for Prosperity. We'll be right back.
From all over the world, this is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, talking to Starla Brown with Americans for Prosperity. So AFP is primarily a kind of an economic group. You're about free markets and, you know, economy and prosperity. Obviously, it's in the name. So you have some ideas to mitigate exactly what we're seeing that AFP is proposing nationally as some solutions?
Yeah, so we've been talking about inflation and, you know, as we all know, it's hurting people across the board. Everyone and everything is impacted by rising costs, right? And so even when we talk about fuel prices going up, that impacts everything across the economy, right? Because energy is such a big part of it. And there's really just no light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, you and I talked about on the break how I feel like every time I leave town for a week and I come back, whether it's to D.C. or we were out in Missouri, I saw a jump in 40, maybe 50 cents, depending on where you're purchasing gas, just in the past like 3 to 4 weeks, right here in Mississippi. So, but while we were in D.C. last week, we actually launched what we call our True Cost of Washington Tour. And we're traveling across the country to talk to folks about a better way to solve the problem. And so there's some things that we're proposing. One is unleash energy abundance, right? So it takes between 4 to 6 years to finish the environmental review process for energy and infrastructure projects. So this isn't a light switch you can turn on and off. And people need to be aware of that. When you shut it off, turning it back on is not a flip of a switch, right? And so that's the important thing. We're also talking to people about another area we see is cutting red tape that keeps prices high. So 40% of all corn produced in the United States is used to make what?
Yep.
Ethanol, yep. Right? So
more now. Didn't they just up that amount too?
Yeah, so, right. So under the RFS, corn prices have really gone up dramatically, right? And we're basically incentivizing farmers to replace other crops with corn and grow corn wherever they can. But then, you know, we're talking about food shortages, right?
Right.
So it's a perverse incentive.
And that has other knock-on effects too, because, you know, the farmers right now are talking about feed for their cattle and all kinds of stuff too. And so this, you know, pulling corn out of the market to put into the fuel is creating problems with farms, and corn's in all kinds of food products too. So it's just, like I say, it's one bad decision after another.
Another, right. Another area that we look at, and you talked a little bit about this earlier, even before I got here, is stop restricting the housing supply.
Yeah.
We have to do that, right? So, you know, and since 2019, housing costs have risen faster than income. Think about that.
Oh, yeah.
And we have close to half of the renter households right now are actually spending 30% of their income on housing. 30%.
I believe that was in the last year. It went from 24.1% to I think 37.3% of income.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so the problem is, you know, we talk a lot about affordable housing. Now, of course, the government solution to affordable housing is subsidies, right?
Yeah.
Subsidizing whatever. If we'll get out of the way of the housing market and restricting the supply, and get out and deregulate things and open up. A better way for people to do that. Affordable housing can emerge, right?
Sure.
It can be one of the things to do. Another area that we're looking at to beat inflation is through better budgeting. Now imagine that, right? Each of us as Americans have to budget. And right now our budget is completely crashed. I mean, if you had I have a written household budget, right? I know this is what I intend to spend each month. If I break it, well, then that's my issue, right? But the same thing is true for a lot of Americans. Like, they know, like, hey, it's going to cost me this much for this, or traveling to work, you know? So I looked at my gas budget the other day, and I was like, well, I might as well just, you know, just quadruple that, right, or something, because that's where it needs to be. But our national debt has exploded from 32% of gross domestic product in 2001 to nearly 100% GDP today. And, you know, it's been a long – we did actually Congress for a period of time, a very short window of time for years, actually kind of balanced the budget, right?
Like in the 90s,
right. We had a balanced budget. But it's been – but since then, they haven't. So that was good, but since then, they haven't. And
right.
The spending, it just keeps going up and up and higher. And it's – so much of it is wasteful spending, right?
Oh, yeah.
And that's the key word here. You're not going to spend your way into prosperity. So, you know, we really need to look at better budgeting, right? And that goes not just for the federal budget.
No, right, exactly.
Our state budget needs to be on board with that as well, right? So then the other thing that we look at is fuel the flexible workforce of tomorrow. Over 59 million Americans earn income as freelancers. And last year, there was some pretty bad policy that came out when it comes to independent contractors.
Yeah.
And so we want to make sure that we're looking at that economy as something to develop. Flexible workforce is not just about the entrepreneur side of it. It's about how it allows people, whether it's supplementing income, whether it's allowing people to have a better opportunity to work what fits their schedule, right? You know, I know a young couple. And one of them works in the daytime and the other works in the evening. And they have three kids. And one of the reasons that they work around this is there's great opportunity. But if they didn't have that flexible, like that freelance or flexibility to do that for the one to work in the evenings, and the other, you know, like the day job is maybe the breadwinning job, but some of that work in the evening is to supplement that so they can do well.
Yeah.
Obviously, in times of inflation, even that gets hit because their flexible job requires fuel as a big piece of it. One of the last areas that we kind of looked at too was tackle rising costs through trade, you know, free trade.
Yeah, okay, so, free trade.
Right. And I stress that because there are a lot of people out there who've been misguided about what free trade actually represents. And so, you know, I think one of these days we're really going to – we need to really do a show on free trade.
No, I talk about
it
a lot.
I'd like to bring in someone to help us with that too. I know you do.
Yeah.
But I really think people have to understand, because there's this misconception that, you know, we should only buy – something produced in one place and that kind of thing. But when we talk about trade regulations in that arena, when we're talking about the rising cost of trade, you know, we have things like we have everything from the outdated Jones Act, you know, with the shipping and to fertilizer tariffs.
Yeah.
And again, that, you know, these drive up the cost of food and everyday goods.
But sanctions. Endless sanctions.
Right. But tariffs are a tax. And if you don't understand that you, the consumer, are paying that tax, then we really have to have some economics 101.
People don't understand that. They do not understand it.
Yeah, they don't understand it, right? So if we, you know, you can look at it this way. But look, right now, Americans are facing three things that I think are really important here. First of all, there's less cash in their wallets. There just is.
Yeah.
I mean, if everything is going up and you are now spending more, you know, the average household really right now, I think we've estimated about $5,200 this year just to maintain the same standard of living as the year before.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So if at the beginning of this year in January, I'd come to you and said, hey, just want you to know $5,200 of what you had planned in that budget, your personal household budget, just for you to stay where you are, you're going to have to spend that much more money. I think most people would be like, right? You know, and I think you kind of talked about the concept of having to write that check.
Well, you know, and they this is on the heels of we've seen stories for years and years where they say 60% of Americans can't afford $400 emergency. And suddenly we're just, you know, these aren't emergencies. These are just living. I mean, you're just buying food and fuel and stuff. But this one thing I brought up earlier here that I wish people would understand. We've had a lot of people, I am all for tax cuts. I'm for zero personal income taxes. I'm well on the record to abolish the IRS. But for politicians that have campaigned, as great as we all love tax cuts, because they didn't control spending, that $5,200 you're talking about this year, what I said the first hour, you're paying back that tax cut you got a few years ago you were so happy about because they didn't cut spending. They printed money. Now the inflation is plugging that gap. So people are their tax cuts are being taken back.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, that's for everyone. That's across the board.
Absolutely.
Like everyone is doing it.
Yep.
But and then, you know, more pain at the pump. We can't stress that enough. Like, I don't know how. Look, I fill up. And you and I talked about, like, we don't wait anymore. You know, it's us down to the fumes because we're way to the.
Well, wait, Jose, I've got the barrel of oil is down 20 cents right now as we speak.
Wow. 20 whole cents. Okay. Well, the average American household will pay at this point. This was the projection, the number that we see, $1,433 more for gas this year. What else could you do with $1,433, right? Maybe you just want to save it. Maybe you need to do something else. Maybe.
Now, the Biden administration has proposed, apparently, they're having talks about eliminating or giving us a break, a temporary little treat of they're going to take out the federal tax, the 18-cent federal tax on gasoline. So maybe they'll give us that. That will be as meaningless as the releasing from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. It will make no impact whatsoever, this little 18 cents. And they're debating this right now.
Right, right. So you can't even get under $4 a gallon in Mississippi, I would say, with an 18 cents reduction. So, that's not the kind of price I'm looking at. I'm looking at the price that we're going to be rolling back at our event, right? So higher cost at the checkout counter. The average American household right now is predicted to be spending $430 more on groceries this year, right?
That seems low.
It does seem low. It's one of the studies that we had, but I think this was earlier, right? This was earlier in April when we kind of came out with this figure.
This was last week.
Yeah, last week. So now I think we're going to see some of these numbers being adjusted. I think you know, and depending on where you are, whether you pay a grocery tax, you don't pay a grocery tax. I mean, all these things play into it. But we are now entering that phase of the food shortages. So I think that number is definitely going to skyrocket. But if you're paying that much. I think, you know, I feel like I bought groceries, I don't know, right after I got back from D.C. And I love using the gig economy, as you know. I love if I can give back. Maybe it costs me a little more, but I love giving back like that way in my community, because that's an economy I think we need to invest more in Mississippi. And there are plenty of places where if we could get the whole economy back on track, there are people who would like to use it, right? But I looked at what I spent for groceries and what I got.
Yeah.
And the theme, right, there's a hashtag that we have for this tour. It's called Pay More, Get Less. And you can go to that hashtag on Twitter. You can go to it on Facebook. You can actually just pull it up and you can see all the different things and you get a lot of information and education about what we see are the problems. Because that hashtag has a lot of articles you can read, a lot of information out there. But I am, as an individual, definitely paying more and getting less. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
You should go check out, before you leave here, go to the restroom here at WYAB. What's something that I found very interesting the other day? Someone loaded a new roll of toilet paper in the bathroom here, and there is a significant gap between the end of the toilet paper and the rest of the spindle. The roll is slimmer, noticeably slimmer, to where it was, I looked at it and went, that's weird. There's a lot of extra room on that. So that's the other thing we're seeing a ton of, too, is this shrinkflation.
Right.
So even the prices that aren't necessarily rising when you get them, you're having to buy them more often.
Mm-hmm.
Bar soap recently. I don't know if you've seen bar soap, but they have carved these things into these funky shapes so they can save, you know, they kind of shave out the bottom of it. So it looks like it's almost like modern art, but it's a hell of a lot less soap than it used to be.
Right.
And that is really biting people, too.
Right. And I you know, and it's sad that people out there who want to provide goods and services to people and provide society with something that's of mutual benefit, right? Like, you've got a great product, I'm willing to pay for it. That's the mutual benefit that we have there. But the problem is now the person on the end of the selling the product is trying to figure out how to stay in business.
Yeah.
And so we're not being unleashing those people to be entrepreneurial, to do good for the community in terms of what, you know, what Charles Koch talks about as good profit, right? And so the we have a real issue in that, like you said, we are definitely paying more and getting less, whether it's in the size of the product, like you said, this shrinkflation is a definite issue.
Yeah.
And I can see it. I mean, you know, one of the things I'm, you know, so happy about being here in Mississippi is that we have some really good food, right? That's right here.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we have some really good food produced here. It just tastes better. I'm just going to say that. I might be a little biased, but it does just taste better. And but I realize when I talk to people who are selling products, or I talk to restaurant owners, or I talk to people who have smaller businesses where, you know, they're just, you know, kind of turning over,
yeah,
some products, they're having to watch daily that inflation and
the
price going up to make sure they're having to quickly adjust. And if you're a small business who doesn't, you know, who's really trying to track that, it's kind of hard to figure out your bottom line. Then all of a sudden at the end of the month, you know, you're coming up less and you're
like... Well, and you can't pass it always on to consumers either.
Right, like, because...
You'll lose business.
Business, right. Yeah. So we've got a real thing here. But again, I'm excited because Tuesday, June 28th, we will be at Cox Chevron in Forest, Mississippi with our True Cost of Washington event. And we are going to roll back prices on gas to the national average in January of 2021. And you can follow the overall tour, like I said, at the hashtag Pay More, Get Less. This campaign is a very, very bold campaign for us. And we've launched it so that we can actually connect people to the truth behind why prices are going up. What is inflation? Give people a little break. We were in Georgia. We've been up in North Carolina. We've been in Ohio. We've been all across the country. We are continuing to go through all of these cities and all across the board, the stories that people are sharing with us, like how they're coming literally to the pump running out of gas,
yeah,
how they're waiting in line for hours for this price. This is something that Washington, D.C. needs to pay attention to this tour, because they need to see the people that are really hurting. And so we're looking forward to, you know, to meeting with all the voters in local communities, especially over in Forest, Mississippi, hearing their concerns. And We want to bring their voices back to Washington, D.C. We want to call attention to this problem, but we also want to call attention to what the true solutions are and those solutions that are being ignored by the Biden administration.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, talking to Starla Brown, Americans for Prosperity. One more segment ahead. Stick around.
From all over the world, this is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, final segment here with Americans for Prosperity and Starla Brown. So, Starla, we finish every week by trying to explain how people can get a hold of you. This is going to be tough economic times. People need some guides. They need the truth. They need to understand what is happening. We cannot make better decisions going forward. We cannot demand of our politicians what needs to be demanded if we do not understand the problem. So this is what I'm hoping Americans for Prosperity is working hard on this year. So how do people get in touch with you and see what you're
sure.
doing?
Well, we have our office in Ridgeland here, but you can find our overall website is AmericansForProsperity.org. So it's our name spelled out, .org. And if you're on Facebook, you can find us at Americans for Prosperity Mississippi. We post a lot of our events and upcoming information on there. We have an active Americans Prosperity activist group you can join on Facebook. So if you're on social media, you can follow us on Twitter at AFP, I think, underscore MS. I hope I got that right. I just hit it on my phone, right? Mm-hmm. But anyway, and you can follow me on Twitter, Starla M. Brown. You can do that. And, we're hopefully next week, if you tune in, Stone Clinton's going to be on the show, and he's going to have all kinds of ways for you to get involved and talk to you about some of the new and upcoming things we have for grassroots activism.
Yeah, well, great. All right. Well, I've been involved in a lot of AFP events. I've enjoyed going to just about everything you had. Don't take it in offense that I don't follow you on Facebook. I do not do social media. I have a fatwa, my own personal fatwa against social media, but I understand that's where the people are. Right. You must be there, so I'm sure that you all use it well. But anyway, yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see, what takes place. I mean, every week that goes by, y'all come in. I have a feeling for the rest of this year, for sure, we're going to have a lot to talk about, particularly when it comes to the inflation. It's not going anywhere.
Absolutely. Well, come out and join us June 28th, Cox Chevron, Forest, yeah. Mississippi. We'll see you there. We're going to be rolling back those gas prices and talking about the true cost of Washington.
Yep, great. All right, Starla Brown, Americans for Prosperity. For everybody else, I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.